SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everybody, welcome to Game Time Decisions. I'm the Region Redhead Cam Stewart. My boy Gabe Morenci on the road in Toronto right now, getting ready for the Raptors game tomorrow. Gabe, I just want to say, how you doing? How was the trip? And first, it's unbelievable stuff in the hockey world. Last week it was Mike Bossy, and today another Montreal legend, Guy Lafleur, one of the best of all time, a guy that I had the pleasure to meet once, passing away at the age of 70. It's been unbelievable the last couple weeks in hockey with these legends.
Yeah, very tough times. Legends from the 70s, iconic, all-time great hockey players. Both, incidentally, from Quebec as well. So both heroes in Quebec. And, you know, the Montreal Canadiens, the most storied hockey team in hockey history with the 24 Cups, you know, like the Yankees. And similar to the Yankees, it's a who's who when you talk about the Montreal Canadiens and great players that have played for this team. And, you know, the Canadiens are so good, Ken. You could be a Hall of Famer and they don't retire your number.
Exactly.
Like, it's that hardcore. It's like, yeah, you're a Hall of Famer, but mm-hmm. you know what I mean? We can't retire your number. But there's only really two halves in the ultimate big picture, really. Maurice Richard and Guy Lafleur, who are just sort of synonymous. I know Patrick Roy with younger people, but devastating, even though we knew it was coming eventually, Cam. But at the same point in time, you know, 70 years old, you'd like to live longer. But considering his lifestyle over the years and the life that he lived as well, you know, it's the poor kid from Quebec City, you know, ends up one of the greatest hockey players of all time, somebody that enjoyed life. So instead of being sad, it is depressing. And it's depressing on a personal note. It's just sad. But ultimately, he had a hell of a run, Cam. Hell of a run. You got a chance to meet him. Very nice guy. And, you know, like I said, one of the greatest snipers, one of the greatest goal scorers ever to play, along with Mike Bossy. But there was only one flower, and that's Guy Lafleur. May he rest in peace.
I agree 100%. You said it. Next to Maurice Richard, you know, you talk about he was first 60-goal season Gabe he had. They had five straight cups. And we talk about in the annals of, like, Montreal history, you consider Guy Lafleur like number two. That's what it is. It's Maurice Rocket Richard and Guy Lafleur. And you're right. Got a real chance when I was living up in the Arctic. He went up for a charity event. And let me tell you, Gabe, like we say this about a lot of athletes, but the whole city came out to meet Guy Lafleur because you don't see legends like that. He spent every single minute after signing every single autograph for kid, parent, everybody in town before he left. Ron Hogarth, the referee, was there with him. They put it on together. And this guy, basically, he didn't leave any kid wanting a sign. And then we went out in the town afterwards for a couple drinks. And let me say, for a guy that actually gets it, Guy Lafleur, he was one of the nicest. Like, I met him once, and he was just made a great impression on me as a good human being. And he was really, really good to the kids, which was cool.
It's just a great era of sports when you think about it, in the 70s and into the 80s. He was more dynamic in the 70s into the late 70s. But it's hard to describe, you know, even like to Yankee fans now and stuff, like, you know, like what Reggie Jackson was like at that time. He's winning World mm-hmm. Series and hitting home runs. I was telling people, like, you know, even Hulk Hogan, people don't realize just how big he was. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, just huge. Like big. Guy Lafleur came, like, you saw people, how they reacted around him. He was almost like Elvis or something. It was like, oh my God, that's Guy Lafleur. Like, he just had this sort of presence that when he walked in a room, everybody was like, wow, that's Guy Lafleur.
Welcome our radio affiliates. Morenci's right. We're just reflecting on the life of one of the greatest hockey players of all time, Guy Lafleur, Montreal Canadiens legend, retired number 10 by Montreal, Hall of Famer, five Stanley Cups. And yeah, you're right, Morenci. Like, when I got to meet him that day, it was unbelievable. So Guy, after the event, and he's signing autographs for kids and whatever, he's got all these like women, some of them with no teeth and whatever, like, they were pawing on him like it was, Morenci was like, you said it. You want to talk about Elvis? Like, this guy couldn't get like a breath of fresh air. He actually got a little bit scared. He's like, oh my God. Like, they just kept on circling and circling like vultures. And it was the funniest thing I ever see. Women alike. He had that kind of thing like Elvis. A man who knew how to attract women and just a good human being altogether. And the hockey world's going to miss him. And I don't know, man. You got to cover the Canadians, something I never did. I've only covered the Leafs for a bit. And actually probably got to see Guy a lot more. But I'll say I meet superstars and you've met more than me. That was the one guy who I was interviewing and stuff. It was like a little bit nervous because it was almost like talking to an absolute icon.
Yeah, true legend. I've had a lot of guys on my show. It's true. I've spoken to not everybody, but almost everybody. There's a few. There's a few like icons I haven't interviewed, but quite a few I have. And I rarely ever get nervous or that excited. I'll be stoked. Hey, this is cool. I have this guy on my show or whatnot. But where, you want the guy to like you. Like, you don't want to screw it up.
Sure.
I remember when I interviewed Dick Butkus. I was nervous when I interviewed Dick Butkus just because with Dick Butkus. It's like, man, this is Dick Butkus. I don't want to piss this guy off.
Too.
Yeah, but I got along with Dick well. That was cool. Mike Ditka, same thing. It's like, man, it's Mike Ditka. You know what I mean? You're sort of like, there's certain people. Like, I got a little nervous. Not nervous, but I got a little like, wow, when I met Barry Sanders at the Super Bowl.
Uh-huh. Yes, that,
cause I met a lot of football players, but I was like, wow, this is Barry Sanders. Like, there's football players, but this guy is like at the top. There, but same thing. Guy Lafleur, had him on my show on many occasions. I did a live show out of his place. I think it was called Number 10. I forget what the bar was called, but he had a bar and a restaurant and stuff. But yeah, just class act, nice guy. And yeah, it sucks for the city of Montreal too. Like the 70s with Gary Carter and the Expos are gone. Now all the greats are starting to pass away. Now it's tough.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Game Time Decisions. I'm Cam Stewart, along with Gabe Morenci, on the road in Toronto. Getting ready for that Raptors game. Gabe already put in my bets. I know I'm having problems getting my bets in, but when I do finally get through, throw it down a little Raptors money line at points, and I hope you get a win on your trip. And
Joel
right
Embiid.
Now. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Joel Embiid's got a he's got a fractured hand. He's got a hand problem, and it seems to be it's a common theme as of late in the NBA. With players hurting their hands, and you need your hands. You saw the other day his thumb. He has his thumb taped up as it is already. And I don't know if it was a dunk. He did that thunderous dunk, and he hurt it. And then after, I don't know if someone on the Raptors saw that he hurt it, and then they hit him. Then someone smoked his thumb after, like they slapped at it after. And you could tell he was in pain. He really wants to beat the Raptors badly, this guy. So I'm seeing that he's practiced today. They said that he was in pretty bad pain, but he insists that he'll be good to go tomorrow. But something to think about. If you're up 3-0, man, and that hand, he gets – I'm just saying, and we'll get to tonight's games, guys, but if he's already got a bad thumb and his hand is hurting and they're even admitting, yeah, his hand is in severe pain, but he's likely to play on Saturday – if the Raptors get up early or someone smokes his hand early or something like that, they're up 3 games tonight. They would be stupid to leave Joel Embiid on the floor. So maybe it's wishful thinking by me, Stephen Cam, but I'm hoping that Joel Embiid doesn't play tomorrow.
Yeah, so if you're a guy in Toronto, you need Joel Embiid, shake his hand really hard. Give him
Hey, maybe they're staying in my hotel. Hey, hotel staff. Yeah, you see a big dude.
Big fan from Philadelphia. Exactly. That'd be fun, but...
How you doing, Steve?
What's up, Steve? Yeah, it makes me think of Williamsburg's own Bruce Hornsby in the Range. He's a big basketball guy. Yeah. His son played at LSU a few years ago. He's playing pro. Yep. And he plays pickups still here locally. For the last 20 years, he has never gone inside the three-point arc. He just takes threes because he doesn't want to risk hurting his hands. That's a true story. So maybe we'll play some Embiid over 1.5 three-point attempts, maybe. I don't know. Maybe that's where we can go with that problem.
Bruce Hornsby reference. I never saw that coming.
Didn't see that one coming, huh?
I never knew he was from Virginia. I thought he was Canadian.
That's just what? The way it is. Some things will never change.
It's just the way it is. It's just the way it is.
Madeline Lane and The Way It Is. Those were his two big songs like in 86. Yeah, like
The Way It Is. Ago.
Yeah, I remember when his kid played at LSU. I'm like, Bruce Hornsby?
Keith Hornsby.
Singer's got like a kid.
Here's what's funny, Cam. So his sons are twins. I've known him since they were infants. One of them was a runner at Oregon, like skinny kid runner at Oregon, identical twins. The other one was an LSU basketball player, and both good athletes.
That was coming back to me. Now it's coming back to me, Stephen. You're right.
He played with Simmons.
Yeah, it's weird. He's a musician and his kids. Yeah, right. Yeah. I always confuse Bruce Hornsby and what's his name? Is it Tom Cochran? My boy's going to play in the big leagues.
My boy's going to knock him dead.
Yeah. They kind of sound the same, too.
I ran into Tom Cochran at the supermarket a while ago. Yeah, guys.
Walking in Memphis guy, too. Walking in Memphis.
Yeah, I know
that.
Yeah,
sounds like the same. So that guy got once, I think, in Memphis, too. I don't know if it was in Memphis,
really?
But nevertheless.
Shooting in Memphis. Yeah, anyway.
A lot of shootings in Memphis.
That's very much going to be very stabby.
All right, so unfortunately, Cam, that first quarter streak came to an end last night, huh?
Sure did.
What a thud.
It did.
What a thud. 10-2 run, Steve, that first quarter. The desperate team in the first quarter came to an end. But I'm going back to it tonight. I already put the plays in due to geographical traveling situations. There I was at an airport this morning just firing away. And I hate it, Steve and Kim. I'm betting like 18 hours in advance. I'm firing off like Saturday bets. I'm like, yeah, whatever.
Me too.
I'm going to bet it anyway. So I'm like, just put 500 on it. Like, exactly. Whatever happens. Bet a bunch of baseball today. But I already got my play in. I took the Atlanta Hawks in the first quarter. What do you think, Steve? They're a good home team, but Miami are a damn good basketball team. What's your take on this game?
So Teddy Covers and I did the NBA tip-off show on Wednesday with Joe Ranieri at wagertalk.com. And I said, I don't remember in my almost 30-year career. And then Teddy said in his 25-plus year career, we'd ever seen a situation like Wednesday night. And we talked about this game Tuesday night on your show about the Raptors were a dog for the game, a 2-point dog, yet a 1.5-point first half favorite. I mean, that was a pretty big margin. And then we don't have to look, but just 2 days later, we got the same situation that with the Hawks game. They're about a 1.5-point dog in the game, 1.5-point favorite in the first half. So it's just crazy. Looking ahead to tomorrow, Brooklyn is a bigger first half favorite, 3.5 in the game, which is 3. Ralph Michaels gave us these numbers yesterday for the NBA show. Going into last night, since 2015, teams down 0-2 first half, 16-3 against the spread. I believe Denver failed to cover last night, right? So now it's 16-4. For the game, though, they're just 16-15 now. So you've definitely been much better off playing the first half. 16-4 versus 16-15. However, they're adjusting more than they probably were 4 or 5 years ago, right, Gabe? We've talked about that. So maybe that trend's about to end.
No, especially with the money lines. We were talking about it last night. Remember, Cam, minus 210 they posted.
Yeah, this one, it's actually crazy. Yes, I know exactly. I was looking at this one, though, guys, because you see ones and a half. This money line, though, Gabe, this is different. That's why I like it, too. It's reasonable. It's $1.30, right? Like, they had – so you're thinking about a one-point difference. We're getting Atlanta. And, Steve, Gabe and I were talking about it. They're laying, like, 220 for these money lines because these desperate teams are winning. I know it didn't finish strong yesterday, but that seems more reasonable for Atlanta to come out, don't you think, and maybe come out and punch these guys early because, you know, they're going to have to if they're going to deal with Miami.
Yeah, the other thing about Atlanta, too, keep in mind, they were one of the worst road teams coming into the playoffs, and they had one of the biggest home-road dichotomies as well. So if there's ever a team that should bounce back down 0-2, back with that home court, it's Atlanta who plays much better at home. And I believe they're 20-3 straight up their last 23 games. We're getting them as a dog. So I think there's some value with the Hawks.
That's amazing, though. You were talking about the outright compared to the first halves. You know, and we've seen it time and time again. Look at a classic example of the Raptors the other night. Raptors won the first quarter. Raptors were up by 10 at the half. End up losing the game.
Up by 17 in the game.
Correct.
Because I had them.
Ask the Minnesota Timberwolves about that.
Timberwolves,
Man, 23-25-point leads. Yeah, incredible.
Wow. Another thing is, Steve, what do you do? Like, and I thought about this. Like, last night, I got, you know, I'm starting to think this live betting. You're down five
you gotta
runs
take
in a
the
baseball
dog
game.
You got to do
cares?
It.
Hey, Monty, you know
look
me.
Look at the
like,
Mariners last night. Blew a five.
Oh, I know.
In the first
I had Texas.
I like them, too.
You know what
too.
I did last night? I took Texas.
Right. Cam had the
I got these guys. I know. Remember,
you
I had
lucky
Texas.
Son of a bitch.
Hey, I deserve one after getting mocked for taking the Rangers. So I go, you know what? If I'm going to get mocked again, I might as well take them live at 11-1. So I only put like 30 bucks on it, Steve. But honestly, like next time, it's wicked when you go. Like, think about this. What you're going to get live. So I don't know if you guys have changed your opinion. I'll start with you, Steve. But this live betting now with these dogs, like, it has to be a part of your portfolio because teams can come back.
Yeah, Cam, I'm so glad you brought it up. I thought I saw one of the best ever in-game situations last night. And it was when it was 60-49 Golden State. The Warriors had hit four straight threes to go into that timeout. They were 9-for-13 midway through the second quarter. They'd already hit nine threes, and they were still only winning by 11. You know, I mean, they should have been up at like 30. And I looked at the in-game line at FanDuel during the timeout, and it was 9.5. They were up by 11. The line was 9.5. I liked Denver at +2. They almost got there. Probably should have covered at the end. Yeah. But, yeah, that +9.5 was a gift, and it's where I wish I had time to send that out to clients. You know, just logistically, you've got like a minute. But that's a perfect example of what you're talking about, Cam. You look for extremes like that. Golden State could not have shot any better. Couldn't shot any better, and they were only like 1.5 above the spread at that point.
Yeah, every game, though, has been this way. Look, the Raptors blew a double-digit lead. They were up by 16, 17 at one point. They were 17-0. At home when leading by double digits in the playoffs at the half. How about last night? Teams that were up by 25 or more points in the playoffs were 380-8 all time. 380 wins, just 8 losses. And that's what Memphis overcame last night. But every one of these games. Look, Brooklyn were up on Boston. Boston came back, won on the money line. The Raptors were up on the Sixers. The Sixers came back. The Utah Jazz were up on the Mavericks last night. The Mavericks came back. Time and time again, we see this. The Memphis Grizzlies. It happens all the time. I like where you guys are going with it. I already bet it. Yeah. I like the Atlanta Hawks first quarter. I like that first half play, but I don't trust them in the game.
Exactly.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Game Time Decisions. I'm Cam Stewart. Dave Morenci, our special guest, Steve Merrill, breaking down the first game of the night, the NBA playoff triple header. Should be a good one, too, Miami and Atlanta. Gabe, I like where we're going. We have the same idea in this game. I think Atlanta comes out hot, going to take them in the first quarter for sure, and probably the half, and then we'll see. And to Steve, your point, like we'll find maybe a middle job. If they get off to a great start, we can maybe buy back on Miami and try to hit it again like we did last night with these other games, with these crazy spreads and these underdogs down multiple points, 17 points, 20 plus points. No game is over, and we got to hand it to the Memphis Grizzlies, Morenci. That was beautiful for a young team, not tapping out, clawing back against Minnesota, and then beating the crap out of them down the stretch. That was, to me, one of the most impressive like comebacks. Like this team, they didn't panic, and a lot of young teams do.
I don't know. I would agree with you. And listen, I laid -1.5 games in the series, so I'm glad they did come back and win. Yeah. And especially I'm glad because we had Minnesota in the first quarter as well. So all around, it was a nice win. But, man, it was an epic collapse for Minnesota. You know, you see sort of the Raptors, younger guys that are trying to be the guy for the first time and stuff, and it's hard to meet the demands in the NBA. It's hard to win in the NBA. So, man, let's get into this, man. And the thing is, remember I kidded the other day, Cameron, I said, we said, what's your new future? I said, my new future is Pelicans versus Bulls, Steve, in the NBA Finals. Pelicans and Bulls. But think about the irony. We all did it. I said it about 20 times this year. You know, it could be Phoenix and Milwaukee again, guys, but this time Phoenix beat them. Everybody was giving Phoenix the title already, and a lot of people thought, you know, Milwaukee weren't the favorites in the East, but I thought they were. It doesn't mean they're both going to get eliminated because they lost one game, but they both lost key players, Steve. Chris Middleton out tonight. Suddenly the Bulls have confidence of coming off that win. That place is going to be fired up tonight, man. That epic Bulls intro. It ain't Michael Jordan, but they're still going to play it. They're going to be fired up tonight in Chicago.
Well, it's a lesson also why you don't lay big juice. Teddy Covers and I talked about this Monday when the Suns were up 1-0. They were 1-35 to win the series. Now at FanDuel, they're 1-3, and that's the 1-1 series. Just after one game, they've gone from 1-35 to 1-3 because these black swan events, you know, whether it's an injury. Nowadays with COVID, you got to worry about that still. But obviously, Devin Booker going out, huge adjustment to that series price. Now Chris Middleton out for the Bucks, like you said. They were 1-10 when this series started. Now they're less than 1-3. However, I like the Bucks here. They have dominated the Bulls for the most part. Other than that loss the other night, they'd won 11 out of 12 the past 3 years. They're still 5-1 straight up in ATS the last 3 years at Chicago. So I'm not sure the Bulls will have a huge edge once the game gets rolling. And Middleton played against him four games this year. They played him. He had 19 or less in three of them, zero in one of them because he didn't play. And that was still a 22-point win last month against Chicago. Actually, a 28-point win, I believe. So I don't think Middleton's absence is as big as Booker's. And I think we're getting a discounted price in this game. This line would have been like 5. Now it's 2.5. So I'll take the value with the Bucks to bounce back.
Cam, what are you doing with this one?
I got to be honest with you, and I really respect Steve. I want to take Chicago. I'm just thinking that win was not a fluke. I see confidence in this team. Other than Giannis, you know, who's going to step up for these guys? The lines went gone up. Steve, you're right, 2.5. I see 3 on FanDuel now. I don't know, man. I like these dogs, Morenci. I really want to take the Bulls in this spot. I could tell you one thing to our earlier theory, and I know it's not perfect now, but it's still, if you bet it all the time, I'm taking the home team Chicago in the first quarter as well. I don't know what you're doing with this game, but that's what I'm doing so far.
Yeah, I did that as well. And since I'm going, and I can't respond to people in the chat now, it's just been one of these 24 hours things of weird login situations. But I kind of gave up on it. Somebody's asking, am I going to have a hookup meetup? There's no road rage in Toronto tomorrow, but yes, we are going to, as if the Raptors win, I'll be in a better mood. But we're going to follow me on Twitter at SportsRage. I'm going to tweet out. We're going to have a public get together tomorrow. And we got some guys in the crew coming down. It'll be a good time. We'll watch the late games, the Boston and Brooklyn in a bar tomorrow night. And somebody else asked me if I bought that nice Raptor jacket that I tweeted out a picture of. And no, it's amazing. It doesn't matter what city I'm in. Nothing fits. Every damn store, they either have, they have XL, medium, they never have large, or large is too small, they don't have XL. So I've been trying to get a Vladimir Guerrero Blue Jay jersey in Vancouver, and I thought, all right, I'm going to Toronto. You know what? I'll just grab one now. So I'm here, Cam. I walk in, there's a whole freaking wall of them. I'm like, excellent. Nice and easy. Not one size.
Unbelievable. I'm just watching this go. Let's see. There's a gator right behind this guy, and he's in the water. Right, like, you got to get out of the water there, bud. There's a gator. Like, he's not, we're going to get him yet, but like, your caddy's got to say, man, get out of the water. Like, he's in the water.
So maybe it's a guy you bet against. Maybe, do you have a matchup against the guy? Get him, bud. Get him.
Watch out. There's a gator. Anyway, Morenci, I know, what are you going to do?
I wish there was a gator on the field when Pat Mahomes went down against the Bills with 13 seconds.
Yes,
man,
yes,
there's a gator
yes.
on the line, Pat. Look at that.
Yeah. John B's going for a swim. There's a gator there, but I don't know.
Well, I took the Bulls first quarter in this game. And I was going to say, though, we all know my history of going to games and weird things always happening. Thank God I wasn't there the other night. It's almost a miracle I wasn't, because that's something that I would have usually been at. This is what I did with these games tonight. I basically bet them up, Steve and Cam, as much as I possibly they would let me. So I went the Morenci special, Cam. I've got the Atlanta Hawks +9.5, Raptors +9.5. I've got the Bulls +11.5, Raptors +9.5. I think they would only let me get to 9.5 with the Raptors. So I basically have all the games tonight and the Raptors tomorrow. Yeah. So this way, if the Raptors lose and it's a heartbreak, just don't lose by 10, and I can win. Exactly. I can win as long as these games come into place. But I'm fired up, and the same thing tonight, guys. To me, Steve and Cam, the Pelicans game and the Bulls, they're identical. Steve, we're just talking about both these teams played against each other in the finals. Middleton and Booker, I would agree. Booker has a little bit more of an impact, but Middleton's like a serious player. He's there, dude. They wouldn't have won a title without him last year. Yeah, yeah. Like, exactly. Also, you have the Bulls and the Pelicans that nobody gave a chance to, both coming off a win, both feeling confident. And I'll tell you, man, Steve, the number speaks for itself tonight. I mean, it was 1.5, and it looks like it's the bettors that have bet this thing up to 2.5 right now. The odds makers were saying, hey, the Pelicans can win this game tonight.
Yeah, and the one thing about Booker is they've actually been weaker offensively but better defensively with him off the court. Yeah. Middleton's about 1.5 weaker offense and defense. So he's been pretty good balanced. But the Booker situation might actually be a lower scoring game. We've seen this total go all the way from 222 to 216 in a lot of spots. So there's been a lot of under money. So I do think Booker's an offensive blow for the Suns. Obviously, Chris Paul is going to have to step up, you know, distribute the ball, and he'll probably dictate how this game goes. But here, we're same situation, though, just like the other game. We're getting the defending conference champ at half price because of key players out. So we have to decide, you know, is that an over-adjustment? These are two very deep teams, Milwaukee and Phoenix. I think they both win tonight and they get back on track.
What do you think?
I like
Gabe?
The Pels. I like the Pelicans.
First quarter. I might bet all three home teams tonight and just take my chances. That's just the way I roll. But I definitely, Steve, what do you think?
That's what I did, Ken. That's what I did. I put all three home teams quarter bet in at the airport before I got on the plane. And then when I was on the plane, I was like, you know what? Let me max this out. So I went, like I said, I think I got them at 9.5 too. Pelicans plus 9.5, Raptors plus 9.5 type thing. But I took the Pelicans in the first quarter as well. I think the Pelicans can win this game. So can the Bulls. They're not kids, the Pelicans, man. JV can play. Jonas Valanciunas, this guy's been in big playoff games before. CJ McCollum has been in big playoff games before. Brandon Ingram is turning into a star player right now. Like, they're not like some scrub team that's like, oh, this is lucky and a fluke. They're good. Pelicans are good, Steve. They've been playing good basketball. Like, you know what I mean? They start off the season 2-12, and they just clawed their way back in to this thing. But you raise a good point. I had a guest on last night, a basketball guy, basketballnews.com, and I told him the point spread. He goes, well, as soon as I get off this interview, I'm betting Phoenix. When I told him it was 1.5, because I didn't know that. point blank. He was serious, Kevin. He goes, as soon as this interview's over, I'm betting on Phoenix. He goes, that's crazy. That's great value, he thought.
It is a good night.
Well, we've seen it all season, guys. You know, those key players are out and the teams keep covering. I do think the playoffs are a different beast, obviously, but it has worked extremely well the last couple of years, taking that discount.
So how about this guy's line movement here, talking about the game tomorrow? Raptors and Sixers are the first game up tomorrow, 2 o'clock Eastern. It was 3. It's 2.5 now at FanDuel, and I don't know if maybe there's just the Joel Embiid angle. People thinking, you know what, maybe Joel Embiid won't play, or maybe he'll get taken out of the game, or you know, a lot of different things. Down to 2.5, which way do you think this number goes, Steve, from here? Do you think more Raptor money will come in? And what kind of numbers do you guys have for this? I know Ralph Michaels got some great stuff for teams that are down 0-3.
Yeah, Gabe, you're exactly right about Embiid. I think that's exactly what's going on here, because this line was 2.5 the other night for a situation that was favorable for Toronto, right? Down 0-2. Historically, teams that are down 0-3 actually get swept. It's the exact opposite. Yet,
they
figured
it'd be 4.5 now type thing. Yeah,
right. It normally would be like 5. So I think the Embiid situation is priced in. This line is going to move depending on what his status is. I really think it's an information thing. But Ralph, sent out that great stuff we talked about earlier as far as the 0-2 angles. The 0-3 is interesting because, look, since I started 30 years ago, teams down 0-3 usually get swept. It hasn't been quite the case in the last decade, but they're still just 7-13 against the spread since 2016. But they're 9-9 ATS in the first half. And home teams are 8-8 in the first half, just 5-9 in the game since 2016. So long term, is you want to play Raptors first half probably if you're going to play them in game 4.
Yeah, first quarter,
you agree,
first
Steve?
Half.
30 seconds before we get you out of here, Steve. You agree Brooklyn first half tomorrow, desperate Nets first quarter, first half?
Yeah, it's still a quality team, one of the better teams in the league, and a do-or-die situation.
Don't you wish everything was more rewarding? With Rakuten, almost everything is. You can earn cash back on those new shoes you've been wanting. You can save on the next trip you book. You can cash in on groceries. Just join, shop your favorite brands, and save. Target, Instacart, Expedia, Macy's, Sephora, CVS, the list is long. Save online, in-store, and at over 22,000 restaurants. And when it's time to redeem those rewards, get your money exactly how you want it. Choose PayPal, check, Bilt points, or cash out with gift cards. Eligible American Express card members can choose to earn membership rewards points instead of cash back. Terms and conditions apply. So go ahead, take a trip, fill a cart, order dessert. Rakuten is a world of rewards. Join today for free. Go to Rakuten.com or get the Rakuten app. That's Rakuten.
Situation. I think it makes sense. It's going to probably win again.
Yeah. Steve Merrill.
Love it.
Thanks, he's going to win the NASCAR race, Steve.
Thanks, boys.
NASCAR?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Game Time Decisions. I'm Cam Stewart. Gabe Morenci on the road in Toronto. Get ready for Game 4, Toronto and Philly. And let's hope, Gabe, somebody did grab Embiid's finger and squeeze. We need an inflamed finger if we're going to keep this series going on. Before we get to our boy Cousin Sal, Gabe, do you have any action in this loser baseball game? I know one thing. You won't be taking the Cincinnati Reds.
No, I won't. In fact, no, I do. And in fact, I got my bet in. Yes, I do. I can't check my bets because I'm geo-blocked even, Cam. So I got to remember off my head, like I can't log in.
Yep.
So, yeah. I've got the St. Louis Cardinals.
Okay. It's okay. St. Louis Cardinals. Yeah.
I got the St. Louis Cardinals. The Reds are bad. I don't know if you saw it, too. I want to get to this, actually. I never got to it. You see, it was the president of the Reds basically said, yeah, we're bad. What are you going to do about it? We're
Remember that, Sal?
Are you really that big of a moron?
Yeah. Hi, guys. Nobody cares about our team, but I got something to say to you. Screw you. We're going to suck, and that's just the way it is. Come down to the ballpark because you got no other options than going out for Skyline Chili.
The Mets.
Bye-bye.
The Mets never even did that, Sal. The Mets don't even say, we suck and you're going to like it. Your Cowboys are another story. No,
we got the best owner in the world. Oh, not the Cowboys. Yeah, the Mets. The Mets is an owner I can be proud of, Uncle Steve. My fat face is plastered all over FanDuel. I got that SGP Plus, by the way, which is not like CNN Plus, which didn't last 20 minutes, but I got Alonzo, RBI, Trey Turner, 1+ hit, Dodgers win, Mets win. Get like 4-1 or something like that. Why aren't we playing?
Sal, you're rolling.
Wow, you're all over it.
I can't wait.
How's baseball been treating you so far this year?
It's all right. By the way, you said I think the Reds have lost by 2 or more, 8 straight or something. I mean, they are beyond awful. So yeah, if we lean on St. Louis, we're done for sure today. But baseball's been good. Basketball's been very, very bad. I don't know what to say. I don't know if I could do this, guys. I can't do 7 hours a night for the next 30 days. Do you have the stamina? I can't do this. The Stars are terrible.
Yeah,
the 6 Stars playing are terrible. Kevin Durant forgets how to dribble. And then a guy like Brunson does well. And you're like, oh my God, give him a max contract. And NBA Twitter is the worst. You have ex-athletes screaming at you about who's the MVP, even though 2 days before they were screaming about you about someone else who was MVP. I can't take it. I don't know what to do.
It's
tough.
I said it. What do you guys think of my analogy? I said this last night on the radio show. I realized I said the NBA playoffs are like an amusement park, right? Well, remember, you go to an amusement park as a kid. It's great, you know, hot date night or, you know, go – you know, the smell of food in the air. You go to the amusement park. It's a great time. And then after about an hour or so, you ate too much cotton candy. You went on the wrong ride, and you're, like, throwing up, and you're, like, sitting on a bench, and you're like, oh, I want to go home.
Like me at Marine Land.
Like, 10 minutes later, you're like, I feel better again. Let's go. Let's go on a ride, right? That's the NBA playoff, Sal, an amusement park. You have a good time.
Right.
You puke. Yeah. You get dizzy. You get sick, and then you get on the ride again for whatever dumb reason.
But the ride I get on was put together by a carny, a drifter who was in and out of town, and I'm flying out of the harness probably.
That's what I said. Some loser in a Beck t-shirt listening to Beck. Yeah, it's some hipster.
Right.
That's what happened to me in Montreal, Gabe. They started the roller coaster before I even got the bar down. Like, I could have died. You'll get through it, buddy. I'm like, not even
every amusement park worker, some dude that's making like $12 an hour listening to Black Sabbath in his earpiece. And he's baked, and he hates it, you know what I mean? And he knows, I'm not responsible. They're going to sue Six Flags, not me.
Why do we have to sign off on that every game is great? Like, if you got, you know, Kyrie and Tatum and Durant are like 10 for 41, and people are like, this game was the greatest, the energy's like, no, it wasn't. Why should these guys be passed? Like, can you imagine if Mahomes, Brady, and Herbert had 3 interceptions each wild card weekend? Would we just be like, oh, no, there's something in the air? It's like, no. What's going on?
I've always said that, Sal.
Yeah.
Just because a game is close doesn't mean it's good.
Right.
That's another thing, too. Right. Or even a bad game going to overtime because they both suck and they don't know how to win.
Yeah.
Right? Hey, you're right. We can go on. All right. So what are we doing tonight,
bitter.
Sal?
I'm probably just
bitter. What are you going to do, Sal?
You're due tonight. I have Phoenix and Milwaukee advancing to the second round. And you can imagine the vig I paid on that. I think it was minus 575 or something. I mean, Jesus Christ, they're both supposed to win.
They both go down.
Win 4-1. We got Booker 31 points in the first half. He's done. Middleton, I don't know if we'll ever see him again. So I'm definitely losing one of those coin flip games. Which one am I losing? You guys tell me. Am I losing
tonight?
It's a tough one.
I sort of get the feeling the Pelicans. I trust the Pelicans more than the Bulls. Yeah. Even though I took them both.
Yeah.
But I think the Pelicans more tonight.
I think CJ
McCollum, bro, he's in a zone. He's
hot.
Just like,
I agree.
Swish.
I think
they're
the Bulls
fearless,
can win.
This team.
The Bulls can win. I agree with you. I'm not sure that this Suns team without Booker is better than the McCollum and Ingram and everybody who's the role player.
JV, yep.
Up. Pelicans, I don't know what I ever did to a Pelican, but I'm going to strangle one when I see it because they've cost me more money. They really have. I'm going to go to the San Diego Zoo and get my mitts around a Pelican and that's going to be that because Pelican. I had the Clippers too. This time last week, I had the Clippers. I was crying about that.
Oh, and Paul George got COVID.
Oh, they're not crushing me, the Pelicans. Yeah.
At least you're not a Raptor fan.
We'll talk about Bruce Hornsby's son or something. Get me off topic. I don't know.
Yeah, what's up with that? Steve Merrill brought that up today. What's up with the Hornsby today? Should I go buy a Bruce Hornsby album? God, that's the third Bruce Hornsby reference we've had all day. This is nuts. Bruce Hornsby.
And it should be noted, it's the first ever Bruce Hornsby reference on the show.
You should bring him up every segment now. Yeah,
every guest, Bruce Hornsby.
No, I still remember now because I thought it was weird. I was like, man, that's strange that Bruce Hornsby's kid's such a good basketball player. Right,
I didn't just know his
like,
other kid was
not Andre
runner.
Agassi and Steffi Graf's kid, or like you know, what I mean, all those. Sure. What was that high school in LA? Remember, or was it Joe Montana's kid, John Elway's kid? I was like celebrity Will Smith, and I was like celebrity you. Like they're all on the same football team. I guess they all sucked. And nothing ever happened.
Yeah.
What about the Mets tonight, Sal? Before we get back to the basketball, what about the Mets? Short price right now, FanDuel -134.
It seems a little fishy, right? I mean, they're the best team anyone's ever seen. I do like them still, -134. I might touch the – Peterson's been great. Their relievers, like 18 straight innings with nothing, goose eggs across the board. They have three viable players in the DH spot. They DH'd Lindor yesterday. They still have J.D. Davis. They can put Dominic Smith in that spot, Cano. I mean, the DH – I have not investigated the other teams in the NFC. See, I'm wishful thinking that football is coming around. But National League, but I do think the Mets are benefiting from the DH as much or more than any other team. And they'll beat the Snakes, they'll beat the Nats, and they'll beat the bad teams. So I think this is a win.
All right, so here it is. I see the same game parlay.
Yeah.
The same game parlay.
You see,
you look a little different in the picture. Yeah, yeah.
Well,
you look like just in your younger gym days.
It's when it's like he's lying on his dating profile.
I think that was a day before prom. Yeah, I don't know if a sports book has been more misleading than FanDuel with that picture. I'm sorry, it doesn't bode well for what's to come.
Trey Turner, 1+ hits, Dodgers money line. Alonso, 1+RBI, Mets money line.
I mean, you guys know that. When you get in the turn 1+ hits, do you guys do that? Do you parlay these together? Like a guy's -340 to get a hit? You do a couple of those. It's nice.
Well, I want to start doing it with Suzuki, the dude on Chicago, man. The guy gets a hit every night.
Yeah, he's good.
You got to lay a big price. That's the thing. They really do a good job of turning you off that because I was like, oh, what's his hit tonight? Oh, -280.
Exactly.
I'm like, oh, my God. It's -280 to get a hit?
It's like those money
so
lines
have
for
a
the first quarter.
Parlay. Yeah.
They jack it up to keep you away. You said it. Beware of dog.
No, but that makes sense, though, -280. If you do the math, right? If he's getting a hit every four at-bats, doesn't that make sense? I'm trying to think. Every four plate appearances? I don't know.
Making sense. Does logic doesn't equal wins in sports.
Mathematics,
games,
yeah.
You know.
That's true. Exactly. Yeah.
Spock would be a bad gambler.
Good point.
So that's not logical what happened if they blew a 26-point lead. Well, they did, Spock.
Your Raptors crushed me the other day. I have another FanDuel favorite is the wire-to-wire wins. You familiar with these? This year? Oh.
And the only time they didn't lead was in overtime.
Sons of bitches, +370, I had wire to wire. Of course they win the first quarter, second quarter. All right, they hang out. It's close, but they survive. Not that they win the quarter, but they're winning after each quarter. Two missed free throws, 21 seconds left, and then no more scoring in regulation. Yeah. Terrible. What is that?
Well,
the league let Doc Rivers like run down into the parking lot to call a timeout.
I saw you didn't like that. Yeah.
And why you're not allowed crossing half court, Sal. What are the rules for?
I'm with you.
Without rules, there's anarchy.
The rules like are to screw me. They're to screw me because I have wire to wire. That's what the rules are.
Exactly. Well, how about this, Sal? I'm a diehard Raptor fan. I already bought the tickets, flew 3,000 miles. I'm sitting in a hotel room now. I had to watch that. And I didn't even realize at the time that Embiid, just for whatever, just a little insult on top of everything, I bet Embiid under 32.5 points the other night. He finished with 33 because of that stupid shot. So I lost the game, was depressed, didn't even know this. And I'm watching SportsCenter at like 4 in the morning, and I see on a ticker like rolling Embiid 33 points.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so you're telling me I lost that bet on that shot too? Like, you just can't.
Hey, it didn't get a ton of press, but he didn't get that shot off. He had 0.9. That big, awkward body spinning in midair. They need to put a chip
horrible
in the
defense.
Ball. They're doing it for USFL. It was bad defense, but I'm telling you.
Wasn't a good idea putting Fred Van Fleet on him, huh? Like, let your shot was not about.
That was the worst. It's just like, let the guy hit the shot. It was like, what the hell are you doing, man?
Yeah.
Come on.
What a disaster.
They wanted to do it. They won't admit it, but they were thinking. And I'd say the same thing. Dude. I said, but the problem is, I said it like 2 minutes earlier. I'm like, go ahead, Joel. You want to start bombing threes like your Curry? Go ahead, swish. And then, Cam, you take your chances that Joel Embiid's not going to hit a turnaround, spin around three with 0.7 seconds left on the shot clock.
I'm with you, Gabe. They just gave him too much space. It was just like, okay, come on, guys.
I don't know why Fred Van Fleet's the guy guarding him.
That's issue number one. Yes.
So, guys, let's put a 5'11 guard on him. That's a good idea.
The whole thing was
a disaster. They're going to win tomorrow, Sal.
Well, I hope you're right. I got three for you today, just so you know what to stay away from. And this isn't my typical minus 3,500. I'll give you some straight-up player props. Herder, over 12.5 points. He's averaged 15 the last 10. This is a kitchen sink game for Atlanta. Valanciunas, over 14 rebounds. That's plus 140 at 25 in game one, losing effort. They're gonna thump, I think. And Giannis, 40-plus. Is plus 255. I think we have to start betting some of these, even though like a guy like Carl Anthony Towns takes four freaking shots and kills me on an over. There are going to be some Giannis types, and unfortunately Embiid maybe, and Jason Tatum's down the stretch that put up 40.
What about Trae Young, guys? Doesn't that total seem low for Atlanta? Like if Atlanta's going to be in the game, he's going to get 30 plus. Was it 26.5 game? We got it. I think it's 27.5 now. That number seems like almost fishy low. I would have put it higher.
Sounds made up.
You know what? Do the Trae Young threes. I know it's minus 148. Three or more threes is minus 148. I think he's going to hit the rim tonight, actually. Yeah.
Let's see. Trae Young, 28.5.
That was 26. It was 26.5. People are betting.
Yeah, then I'll let you win.
Thanks, Sal.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back, everybody. What do we got here? Game time decisions with me and Gabe Renzi. Gabe, you got me thinking. What are you saying? Breaking news? I know they switched the time of that Hawks game. It was supposed to be like a 7:06, 7:07 tip. I see 7:35 now. What do you got?
Well, I don't know. I want to confirm this. I see Kyle in Atlanta is talking about a suspicious package that was left around the arena.
Wow.
For the record, can't help but think about too the Olympics. Suspicious packages.
Ruined Buddy's life.
I don't know. So what was the game supposed to start at 7? Now it got pushed back.
Yeah, it was an early start. Usually, it was a 7:07 tip. And now I see 7:35, but that's just probably generous. If there's a suspicious package, I got to believe that game might be even later now. We're not, we don't like, we don't know.
I don't want to, exactly.
I don't want to, I don't want to get into
today's day and age in the media and everything. You got to triple check and like everything.
Right? I agree.
But I believe in our boy Kyle in Atlanta, who's in Atlanta.
Exactly. Kyle's a truth teller.
And the game is delayed, so something is going on.
Correct.
I was about to give the picks here. Give me the Atlanta Hawks in the first quarter. Hawks first quarter. Hawks first half. I'm on the same pattern, guys. I got the Bulls in the first quarter. I got the Hawks in the first quarter. I got the Pelicans in the first quarter. Then I did the Morenci special. I've got the Hawks +9.5, Raptors +9.5. I have the Bulls +11.5, Raptors 9.5, whatever. I mixed up like all of them together. What do you got for us, Ken?
Yeah, I'm going to take the Hawks in the first quarter and on the money line. I like them. I think they can hang in this game definitely early. I'm going to take in baseball the San Francisco Giants over Washington -136 on FanDuel. One hockey game, Ottawa-Columbus over 6.5, Morenci. That's all I got in the early card.
I like the Blue Jays tonight, plus money.
And the Blue.
It's a nice price you're getting, +155.
Game for Lander. You got it, Pontiac.